What a wonderful way to begin our service tonight with a hymn like that. In fact, all of the hymns that Shannon has chosen tonight relate to our theme, and we always appreciate that very much from all of our leaders. We're looking, beginning tonight, at our series on words of wisdom and words from the books of poetry. There are five Old Testament books known as poetical literature or wisdom literature. You automatically think of Proverbs, of course, but there is Job, and there is Psalms, there's Proverbs, there's Ecclesiastes, and then, of course, Song of Solomon. And I'm hopeful that during the course of this beautiful month that we'll be able to have at least one lesson from each of those books. And then in November, as has been our custom all year, we'll have yet another theme. Tonight we're just calling the lesson, O Lord, Our Lord. I really don't know how you can improve on any expression that comes directly from Scripture, from the Word of God, that is inspired of God and delivered to us, in this case, through the psalmist David. And it is one of the great praises of hymns of praise to the greatness and to the majesty, to the excellence of God. Again, in our very first verse, O Lord, how majestic or how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And so we want to talk, first of all, there's a contrast in this psalm on the majesty of God versus what we might call the smallness of man, but really the nobility of man. So let's begin by looking at verse 2. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Okay, there we are. You might recognize this expression, out of the mouth of babes, because we refer to it a lot. We talk about when little ones say things that are of wisdom. You know, like, for instance, Wit over here. I was giving a dollar to Wit, you know, for his birthday here a while back, and he took it with gratitude and then came back in a few minutes and said, wait a minute, I'm four, you know, out of the mouth of babes. The Lord quotes that verse in Matthew 21, verse 16, when there were children, what we call the triumphal entry of the Lord into Jerusalem, there were children lining the street, you know, where there were palm leaves being waved and so forth, greeting the Messiah, greeting the Christ, at least those who believed in him. There were children who were running around him and singing, Hosanna, the Son of David. And of course, the Pharisees and others were very critical of that and thought that that was false praise. But that's when Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes, wisdom comes forth. And that's a quotation from Psalm 8 and verse 2. This psalm is also, or at least a section of the psalm, is also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2. So it was very familiar to those in New Testament times, as well as beloved by the nation of Israel. Well, we are thrilled. There are a couple of ways you could look at this particular expression. First of all, in thinking about the creative power of God, and one of the things that we're talking about tonight, as beautiful as we love to admire the magnificence of the creation, including the creation of every person and the creative ability of people to bring things into place that we have not known before, the attention must never be more on that than upon the one who is responsible for it all, the Creator. There are some who love to look and even photograph the beauty of sunrises and sunsets and yet not see the Creator behind that at all, as if all of that is just a natural phenomenon or, as some would say, a result of the evolutionary process. When you look at the wonder of a little one, and those of you that have had little ones in more recent years, we can remember a time when we could not do this. We can get a glimpse of that special little one that the mom is carrying as a result of a picture that can be taken And even some features can already be determined. But it's nothing to be compared when that little one comes into the world and he or she is handed to you for the very first time. And then the day comes when you're able to take him or her home. And then day by day, there is a process of change, of growth, and of development that is a wonder to behold. I think God would say, first of all, don't miss the majesty of creation of a little one as it comes into the world. Sometimes we use the word loosely because it is not something that is supernatural. It's a natural occurrence, of course, but we like to use the word miracle, the miracle of birth. And especially when we get to be there with our wives and watch all of that happen as the doctors and nurses are delivering the baby, it is really a wonderful thing. And then to watch them grow and to watch them develop. Then to begin to say things, and sometimes say things that we have never thought of before but are right. They are right on. They are true. They possess an insight that maybe we're too busy or we're too mature, we're too adult to take time to notice. And especially when they see something, when we're trying to teach them right from wrong all the time, and they see something in us that seems to be a compromise of what they have taught. Is there a parent here who has not heard a little one say, "Well, Daddy, you did that," or "Mommy, you said that," as if to say, "Well, it's okay if I do." And there again, out of the mouth of babes, wisdom comes forth. But sometimes they're correcting. They're just simply correcting as to what they see is right versus wrong. The psalmist recognizes that when God made the earth in perfect creation, in fact, the material universe, that evil eventually came into the world. And in the very same verse, he's promising that we need not worry about the presence of evil, although it's all around us, because God, the Creator, who's not responsible for the evil, is greater than the evil one, and therefore the victor over all evil. And so we magnify the Lord because he has indeed set his glory above the heavens. Okay. Let's talk about the majesty of God out of the mouth of babes. We've already been there. Okay, now in verses 8, 3, and 4, or chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 of Psalms, I have long loved this psalm of all the 150. I know, like you, Psalm 23 will always be number one, but there are some that just really stand out. Psalm 1, Psalm 32 and 51, and you just go on down the line. But Psalm 8 really does remind us that we are created beings in a created planet. And so it's David who is talking about perhaps the days of his youth, when all he had to do when he was a shepherd boy out there at night was to perhaps lie down in the green pasture and just gaze for hours until sleep came at the majesty of God in the beauty of the stars, in the beauty of the moon, in the daytime, the incredible brightness and warmth and power of the sun. And so he says, when I look at all of that, at your heavens, the work of your fingers, and when he uses that expression, it's, we know that God spoke the world into existence, but what he seems to be indicating is that there's finite detail that is involved in the creative process. The finger of God, or the fingers of God, have been involved in the smallest detail as well as the largest. And the more that we study the planet and the things that are in the planet and the material universe that cannot completely be discovered, the more we are aware of the finger of God in creation. He asks the question, when I look at all of that, who am I? This is, if you want to make a list of the most profound questions that have ever been pondered, this is one of them. What is man? Or who am I? Where is my place? What is my purpose? And so, this is where we get the question that you are mindful of him and that you care for him, and whether this is a promise that eventually the Christ will come and be the creation in flesh, because Jesus is very much a part of the creation. There are those who believe this is definitely a reference to the coming of the Christ, this expression, Son of Man. The New Testament, when that term is used of him, of course, denoting him being in the flesh, it's always capitalized, and it's not here, so there's a debate about what he means by this expression. It could be repeating the same idea twice, which is very typical in Jewish literature. The Son of Man, that you care for him. And so there are those who, whether or not they know this psalm, they will look at the vastness, the greatness of the universe, and they will look at the smallness of themselves, or they will hear all the time about the 8 billion of us that inhabit the planet, and they will think that they are of no consequence whatsoever. David is saying just the opposite of that. You cannot get away from the vastness of the universe, but you cannot get away from how God cares. Speaking of the vastness, here's just one example of the intricacy and the delicate design from the finger of God in some of the aspects of our universe. I mean, you could go on till the Lord comes about this, I suppose. Consider the size of the universe in which we live. Earth is one of 8 planets which orbit our sun. Bless Pluto's heart, being dropped from the list of 9. In terms of distance from the sun, Earth is planet number 3. The sun is close enough to us to keep us warm. In fact, if we were any warmer than what we are capable of being, we would very quickly be burned up. If we were any further distance from the sun, we'd be very quickly frozen to death. But it is not so close as to make it too hot. We are still a great distance away from the sun, 93 million miles. If you were able to drive a car from here to the sun at 70 miles per hour nonstop, the trip would take almost 152 years. Light, however, travels much faster than our cars can. Light is able to make the same trip in just 8 minutes, the distance from the sun to the earth. Though 93 million miles is a huge distance in galactic terms, the sun is really pretty close to us. The next closest star is Proxima Centauri. Light from the sun takes 8 minutes to reach Earth. Light from Proxima Centauri takes 4.2 years to reach the Earth. That's how far away our next door neighbor is in the universe. Once again, these are just the distances of things that are relatively close to us. The whole universe is far larger. The scientific world estimates the entire universe is 92 billion light years in diameter. In other words, it would take light 92 billion years to go from one edge of the universe to another. So, you know, you get caught up in things like that and you say, wow, really, who are we? In fact, in recent years, NASA has sent space probes, and you'd have to be pretty close to see the dot. But the era is for your availability and making the point. We have a probe that is on Mars in the form of a car, and some time ago, remotely controlled from Earth, they decided to turn the car around and allow its cameras, instead of taking pictures of Mars and the universe all the time, to have it turn back toward Earth for a picture of Earth. And right there, you know, anyway, right there at the end of that arrow, there's a little dot, and that's where we are. That's where you are. Now, there's no way that that camera can show the 8 billion people that inhabit the planet. There's no way that it can show the tremendously large cities that we have, the oceans we have, the continents we have, the individual countries we have. And so, no wonder, by insight as well as by inspiration, did David say, what in the world are we? you know, compared to all of that. You might have been to the Space Center at Cape Canaveral before, and one of the first things that you see as you're about to enter is a picture somewhat like that, although not necessarily taken from Mars, that shows just a speck in the universe and says, you are here. Well, that could be pretty depressing, until the psalm goes on and talks about the nobility of humanity. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. When it comes to the minute detail in which you are made, in which you are created, here again, just like you could give facts about the material universe forever, so can you about your human body that has the finger of God all through it. We are individually made. We are uniquely made. And we are designed to have a relationship with the Lord. But listen to some of these also from the science community that study these kinds of things, and we're grateful to them for it. The human adult has 5 quarts of blood with 15 million platelets in every drop. This blood that is so necessary to life, in fact, you could say it is life, travels 60 to 100,000 miles inside your body. The adult brain weighs only 3 pounds, but contains a library of 20 million volumes of information. The DNA information in one little cell would fill 600,000 pages. The human eye receives light at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. The brain processes and recognizes what the eye sees, shapes, dimensional formations, symbolic data, all in microseconds. Even the best optical recognition systems that we have invented pale in comparison. The heart beats 100,000 times per day, pumping 1,800 gallons of blood, supplying the entire body with oxygen, fuel, waste removal, and first aid supplies. The stomach's lining is replaced every 3 days. I wonder who knew that we were going to need all of that. And things like that go on and on and on. I was waiting for my ear, nose, and throat specialist a few years ago, someone I love very much in Jackson. And on this particular occasion, I've been there before, but this particular waiting room was one of the waiting rooms dealing with the ear. That was not why I was there on that occasion, but while I was waiting for him, I just sat there and kept staring at this chart of the magnificence of the workings of the human ear. Now, you've heard all about the parts of the eye and so forth, but if you were to look at all that it takes for us to be able to hear, that when he walked in, I said, called him by his first name, and I said, how could anyone look at this and say that we are the result of evolution? How could anyone look at the intricacies of this chart and say that there is not a God? And his response was a quotation from Psalm 139, verse 14. Yes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, that's the kind of doctor you want to go to, right? Someone who knows that this piece of flesh or whatever, this combination of things that make us what we are, is something that is of tremendous value. Now, here again is what the psalmist is saying. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. Remember what God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, not only we're going to be made in God's image, but we're going to be having dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle that roamed the land, even beasts. And as we think about the dominion that we have and realize there is a marked distinction between the human being and from any other kind of life form on the earth. There are things that we can do and the things that we can master that simply are not. And by the way, it was not until the 19th century that one gentleman discovered that there are paths in the sea, like the Gulf Stream that goes from, the Caribbean islands all the way to Europe. A path of about 50 miles wide is where really those that are in a big hurry to get across the Atlantic, they go along that particular stream. There is a path in the stream. Well, you know, that wasn't discovered until 1890 or something like that. And here David tells us about it in this passage. But he thinks about all of that, and the only thing that he can do is conclude with the way in which he's began. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how majestic is your name in all of the earth! Exclamation point. You know, he's not saying it under his breath or anything like that. He's exclaiming it. And here we are 3,000 years later talking about it and being encouraged by it tonight. Now, I want us to specially note in closing the things that we can imply and must apply when he says, who are you that a God like that, one who is eternal, no beginning and no end, truly in control of all things at once, all things on the earth and all things in the material universe that has not yet and cannot be fully discovered, can't be. Who are you that he loves you and that he cares for you? Let's remember a few things. Number one, looking at what David was looking, and I want us all to be great admirers of nature. I want us all to be great admirers of hopefully having a beautiful fall, even though we've not had the rain that we would like in September. We still anticipate those fall leaves, don't we? And we know that the seasons are going to show up right on schedule, year after year after year. And so it brings us to great humility that God is God and we are His creation. Therefore, we must be responsible and we must be accountable and we must do what we are expected to do in life, but we must never get too big for our britches. And certainly when it comes to spiritual life, we cannot get so big and so haughty and so proud, regardless of how long that we may have been a member of the church, a faithful member of the church, doing everything that we possibly can to advance the cause, that we deserve any kind of praise or credit or anything like that at all. No, all glory goes to Him. All honor goes to Him, who without we could do nothing and we would know nothing. So, yes, we are confident people, but we're also a people who are humbled by our smallness compared to the vastness and to the greatness of God. Number two, we need to see how God knows us individually and how each one of us is precious to Him. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe every child that is born into the world is a gift of God. Most of us arrive incredibly healthy. There are those who will never know what it's like to be healthy. And it breaks your heart when you see what struggles they go through, and when you see how they too, in spite of whatever difficulty they may have, will achieve what they're capable of achieving. God's aware of that. That is why Jesus spent so much time in healing while He was upon the earth. And while those who came from within Israel and outside of Israel for His healing touch. And I do not remember an account where He turned anyone away. He challenged their faith, but He didn't turn anyone away. even when he was dead tired physically. And so he knows us. When Jesus says, if the Father knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, he chose the bird sparrow because it was considered to be the least valuable. If God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, he's certainly going to know when you fall or when you have some kind of problem or difficulty that is beyond your control. And if he is one who knows for 8 billion people the number of hairs on each head, which might be a hyperbole in terms of what Jesus is saying to us, but in reality, there is no limit to his power. There's no limit to his knowledge. It's an example of how individual we are, how unique we are. And then most importantly of all, when you pause, as we do here, when you pause to look at the cross, when I look at the cross, I do not see a cross beam, two pieces of wood nailed together for execution. When I see the cross, I see a Savior. And I remember the words of the Lord Himself, who said, this is how much that God loves you. This is how much that I love you. And He's saying that to you in the church, and He's pleading to those who are outside the church to come and be obedient to the gospel while there is time and while there's opportunity. God loves. 2 Peter 3:9 suggests the Lord hasn't come yet because He wants more and more people to be in heaven. He's not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering, not wishing that anyone would perish. And then thirdly, we need to see that when the storms of life come, and they will, that we can face them with confidence that there is one who has made all things, who knows all things, who has dominion and power over all things of which we don't even know, and He cares for us. And one day there's going to be an individual accounting before Him of how we've lived the life that He's given us to live. That is why that we're so grateful to be able to talk about the story of His grace and of His mercy, His loving kindness and His forgiveness that is available to the whole world, without which there would be no hope whatsoever. And so we need to have confidence that even when it appears no one can do anything, I cannot do anything about this, no one can make this right, only the Lord can do that. We've got to trust Him and believe in Him and let Him do His work through the blessing of providence, both in our lives and the lives of those that are around us. Don't be lost in the numbers of the billions of stars and the billions of people that inhabit this very tiny planet, but the one planet on which He has placed us and sent His Son to be one of us. Isn't that wonderful? What more proof do you need? One of us, knowing all of the pain, all the agony of even crucifixion, and for us to ever doubt that He loves us. For us to ever doubt that He knows what we need. For us to ever doubt that our names are written in the book of life when we respond to Him. Because that's His promise. Philippians 4:3 and many other passages. So tonight it is our hope that we will all be responsive to, yes, the greatness of God and the smallness of man, but at the same time, the nobility of every person in the room and every person across the planet, regardless of the conditions in which they live. He made them, and Jesus died for them, and as a result of that, we love them, and we want them to be saved, right? Not just ourselves, but as many as we can possibly influence. That is why that we have worship services at this hour on Sunday evening, in addition to Sunday morning worship services. Why we have other meetings scheduled all of the time for us to have more and more opportunity to extend this grace, this love, this mercy, this message of the gospel to come to Him for complete cleansing. When you repent of your sins and when you confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ and are buried with Him in the waters of baptism. Maybe someone needs the prayers of the church, and that's certainly appropriate. We have that a lot, and that's encouraging to the rest of us. We pray that if that's your need, you'll come now as we stand and as we sing.